This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the most part of the football game, man, what an unbelievable atmosphere to see Ball Nation show out the way they did. From ball walk to the stadium to the atmosphere inside of the stadium all night long. Phenomenal to watch and be a part of. Two good football teams played really hard tonight. We came out short on the stick. Just talked to our guys in the locker room. Just disappointed that we didn't play smart enough, you know, and really in all three phases of the football game.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Tennessee Fan Talk with your host, Brandon Bird, and the Duke. Today we have with us future that 90s Vols fan guy, however it is we're gonna label him. Today he goes by the missing mustard. Today's show, Vols defeated by the Rebellion, which is more than just the Rebels, as we'll get into, but defeated by Golf Ball Kiffin himself.
Mm-hmm. I heard the missing mustard was caught at the Dick's off of Peters Road in Knoxville, picking up a dozen balls before the game.
Oh, man, so much to get into, guys. Of course, Tennessee is as relevant in social media as they have ever been. A lot of negative, a lot of positive, a lot of, hey, we don't care that this happened. It happened because we're tired of getting dumped on from officiating. We're tired of, speaking of which, just we'll get into it. But, guys, the fourth down call. Has anyone actually looked and seen where the line judges were that made that call?
Yeah, they were at Calhoun's on the river.
Yeah, I think they were over in West Tennessee somewhere.
No, yeah, they weren't even close to the line.
Calling the spot from 15 yards back. And they're not young guys anymore. And you know, vision impairment. I mean, unless they've all had LASIK when they were 20.
Maybe the SEC provides that in the you know,
contract as salary. An official.
Yeah, they can expense it. Yeah, we're just sick and tired of being sick and tired.
You guys know where we've seen this group of officials before already once this year, right?
Florida.
No, Ole Miss Pitt. Versus Memphis versus Mississippi State. And we all know what happened there.
Quick rundown. I didn't even get time to make the overlay. First off, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for the 4,300 listens for the or views on the last show there on YouTube. We appreciate that very much. Please remember to follow us on your choice of social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, all that jazz.
OnlyFans. OnlyFans.
No negative comments here. Volcast of this will come out. This needs to be changed. We actually drop these things out on Monday now, unless unless we go way too long, and then we'll split it up into two of them. Quick little rundown. We do want to go through the game. We want to go over last week's picks. We're going to spend most of the time on the Vols because this, guys, was one that they could have won, of course. Vegas got it wrong, you know, saying that it was going to be upwards of 80 points scored in this game, which absolutely did not happen. Vols not great in parts of it, and other parts look good. At the end, Joe Milton needs to get the you-know-what out of Tennessee. If it's the last play and you have 3 seconds, do you not have a Hail Mary in the bag? No awareness, none. About turned around and ran right in to a defender. And then decide.
I mean, he's got the strongest arm since Zeus.
And then going to decide that he's going to run.
And my son could throw that. It's 20 yards.
It's 20 yards.
That is true.
All he had to do was put it up and trust the receivers. We've done it before. Juwan Jennings, Josh Dobbs, Georgia.
That was a Hail Mary.
Yeah, he had to hail the hell out of that.
You know, what's sad is that we were this close to winning the game on the play before.
Yes.
If you could slide a dime under Callaway's foot when he jumped, we would be talking about a completely different situation today. I don't know if that's tired legs or what, but, man, I wish he could have gone up after that ball harder.
I said the same thing. I said, you're 6'5", you're that big, and you come 4 inches off the ground. No.
No.
No, no, no. You get higher.
Yeah.
Correct. Hooker, 17 for 26, 233 yards, only a touchdown out of that. And, of course, no picks. The Vols' blessed defense gave Matt Corral his first interception of the year. Go Vols D. He was 21 for 38, 231 yards, two touchdowns. Guys, one thing that Duke said last week was that we had to have someone in the backfield just spying him down, spying him down. And at times, we did that. And sometimes it was two. And one would go ahead and make the rush. The other would hold back. They were very well prepared to get a lead blocker in front of him on several key plays. And Matt Corral is just so, so dangerous with his legs. And if he's not careful, he's going to get hurt.
I wish it had happened a week before they played us.
He's going to get hurt carrying the Heisman home because he's so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
He is definitely a Heisman contender. He was 30 attempts on the ground, an average of 6.5, 195 yards. He busted out a couple around that 30, 32 being his longest. He hit his next best running back. This tells you how well we defended everybody else. Just couldn't get a hold of him. Was Parrish with 41 yards on the ground.
I hate to say I told you so. We all said the same thing, but those guys, those quarterbacks like that, they eat our lunch. Eat our lunch.
Every they have time. For a long time. They all the way back again.
Yeah, I don't know what I mean. Again, it shouldn't transcend, you know, different administrations and whatnot, but my goodness, it's the same song and tap dance routine. 195 yards out of the quarterback. Being there at the game, a lot of times, of course, everyone knows you get a different perspective than what you see on TV. There was a lot of holding, not to start the wine fest early, but a lot of holding out on the edge that wasn't picked up. So, but yeah, he shook shake and bake.
Definitely, lots of non calls. You know that.
They're letting the boys play. They were letting the boys play.
They were letting the boys play. Quite a few non-calls, quite a few bad calls. You know, Ole Miss gave up. Well, I think they ended up a little over 75 yards in penalties. You know, we didn't see. I think there was only one pass interference, and you would think with two teams that like to throw that deep ball, we would have seen a little bit more pass interference thing. They just couldn't get time. I'm very happy for Tennessee's defense. They showed that they are strong. They were in the backfield a lot. Matt Corral was just able to run up the gut and get away.
For two teams that throw the deep ball, I would have liked to seen the deep ball thrown a little more.
I would have liked to seen the deep ball. They just didn't. Neither team had time, and I wish we could have got a little bit better running. You know, they prepared. You know, as being one of the worst offensive lines, defensive lines, they prepared well for our run game.
Yes, it showed.
And missing.
Go ahead. Well, like I said before we started the show, hand up, I didn't watch most of the game due to a wedding. But didn't – I saw a lot of reports. Wasn't the Ole Miss receivers dropping a lot of balls?
Oh, like crazy.
Couldn't have been a lot worse than what it was.
It could have. It could have. I mean, you give up that Valais Jones dropped the first punt of the game.
I saw that.
Or punt or kickoff, whatever it was. I guess it was – I think it was a punt.
But they stopped them three and out on the first possession, and then they dropped the punt.
Muffed it, yep.
Of course, I was not able to go, but missing Mustard, whom is missing his voice, how exciting was Nealon, and how it's been a while since it's been that crowded and that loud. Could you even hear yourself think?
It was definitely up there in the top five games I've been to personally. We have not been back since 2018, so this was my first year game to go in a few years. It was up there with the loudest that I've ever heard Nealon, 98 Florida, 98 Arkansas, 2015 Oklahoma. And it was certainly up there with Oklahoma game as far as just the decibels in your ear, the inability to, like you said, even think, you know, the whole place is shaking. Man, when they came out with that, the orange running through the tee and the lights low, I mean, I felt like I was at a rock concert. It was great. Really good stuff.
And the Duke attending a wedding, he's still wearing white. Look at that. I mean, look at that. That's something that 90s fan guy would love to have. We may have to trade off.
Yeah, I mean, like you have to go to a wedding with one of your best friends, right? You're not going to miss that. I mean, I caught the highlights of it. Obviously, I'm glad I didn't see it. The part I caught after the wedding was us throwing stuff all over the field, which, I mean, was I happy about it? Do I condone it? No. Do I get it? Yes. I understand what they were mad about. I mean, I guess it really goes back to the defensive touchdown turn down, right? They didn't give us a touchdown. That's what I read.
Correct. It stems throughout the whole game.
Yeah. Well, it stems out for 15 years. that's really where it comes from.
And I get the frustration of the fans. Would I have personally done it? No, I wouldn't have.
No.
You know.
No.
If I had the family with me, I'd be trying to get out of Dodge, which is why non-promotional here, I sit in the Tennessee Terrace. The kind of money that's spent right there from the season ticket holders, they're not going to get in trouble. we can just pop right inside and watch it all from the glass.
See, I used to always sit in the student section. If I was a student or not, I would still sit down there.
Believe it or not, I did not throw anything at this game.
Oh, I'm calling it
there first.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, we were behaving over an X3. I do want to congratulate the jackhole that got – or the hero that got his first jackhole in one when he hit Joey Flopwater over there with that golf ball.
You think, little Penny Hardaway come down there and taught him how to hit the flop?
I saw the replays of Ole Miss's basketball fans throwing stuff on the basketball court when we were playing down there.
This is SEC fans. This is not Tennessee fans. No, this is SEC. The passion runs so much deeper in the SEC.
If that happens at Mississippi State fans throwing stuff on the field. If that happens at Alabama, last time I checked, Alabama got beat last week and there was a murder. I mean, that's not I mean, that's a little bit worse than throwing a golf ball. I mean, I mean, there's no telling how many people have been killed over the Iron Bowl through the past years. I mean, and what's the name? Poison the tree. So, I mean, we're still nowhere near in the top five.
No trees passed away in the riot, the Nealon insurrection. No, honestly, guys, let's be for real here, okay? The SEC and all of those commentators, they owe us an apology because all we're trying to do is help those Ole Miss players out there. They were clearly dehydrated and they needed some water. And we, we're just giving them as much as we could so that we could stop the cramping.
Yeah, a bunch of flopopotamuses out there.
They kill me with that.
6 hours long.
And what they were
saying. There's going to have to be a rule change. It'll be at our expense yet again. Just like Music City Bowl. Hey, I was at that game where they were throwing crap over my head. You know what they did there? They taunted the crowd just like they did last night.
They so most
people
certainly.
Need to remember, there are 19 and 20-year-old kids throwing crap at 19 and 20-year-old kids. Mm-hmm. That is a 99.7 survivability rate of what happened last night, okay?
Yes.
99.7% of the percent of the people are kids throwing stuff at kids. It's not, you know, there may be one 90s UT fan guy out there that's 60 years old and throwing his best Hail Mary from, you know, TT up there. But we can't allow ourselves to be gaslit by these people that are saying it's going to recruit recruiting kids.
No, it's not.
That stuff, man.
No.
You know, those kids love that. Let's be honest. They love that.
Yes.
They're not going to go, oh my gosh, I'm clutching my pearls and I'm going to go to Vanderbilt now instead of Tennessee after what I saw on the game field last week.
No, they're going to say, wow, these fans are passionate, they're loud, they're hyper. This is, you know, this is where we want to go. We want to be in an environment where they
got our back.
So much. Yep.
Through the thick and the thin, we got your back.
Yep. Lane Train making a big deal about his golf ball. I love the guy that hit him. That's great. He, you know, crying about his golf ball.
I think the Lane Train needs to worry about getting his money back to the Knoxville Lexus of Knoxville. By what I've heard, I've seen the stories about that too.
What do they do moving forward if a player goes down? You know, if the player is put back in 2 plays later and goes down again, at that point, which involves some record keeping. He sits out the remainder of the drive. And if it does it again, do they start charging timeouts? At what point and what do they change? Duke?
Well, I think sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's just a slippery slope. I don't know what you do because, I mean, how can – you know? I mean, that's such a slippery slope because you don't want somebody to get hurt and really be hurt and think they're flopping. And I don't know how you tell that. You know what I mean? Unless they can review the flop.
No, but if go but back if they're, to the review. But if that's why I say if they're really hurt, they're going to go off and they're going to stay off for a little bit. If they're coming back in 2 plays later and playing full force, and then the tempo builds up again and they drop again, or the next drive, they drop again. Okay, at that point.
I mean, at the same time,
we stop giving them free timeouts. We start taking timeouts.
I mean, I think the only way you can do it is if you have, say, 3 injuries and a half in 1 half. Regardless if – what y'all laughing about? Am I froze again?
No. No, it's on the screen now.
Oh, I can't see you. Never mind.
Again?
But anyway –
No,
I think the only thing you can do is if you have more than 3 injuries and a half, if they're real or not, past that, it doesn't matter. The fourth one, if it's real or not, you lose a timeout.
Yes.
Or you lose if you're out of timeout, you lose a down, whatever the case
Something.
May be.
Something.
I thought about this a lot on the way home today. I'm with you, Bert. I think you definitely got to look at taking them out for the entire possession. You do it under the guise of safety, you know, because – everybody has to be safe before they leave their house every day. So we need to change up our way of life to keep things safe. And that includes these guys that clearly aren't getting enough electrolytes. And so, yeah, I mean, who cramps in 55-degree weather over and over and over again? They were doing this at Arkansas the week before.
They did.
It's, you know, it's classless. Honestly, it's cheating. If we're being real about it, it's classless cheating. I think you sit them down for the remainder of the possession. Yeah. Or maybe until a first down is achieved and the clock is stopped. And then you can substitute that player and not the entire team. They're using also as a way to sub in everyone else in these situations too.
Right.
So, you know, put limitations on who's allowed to sub back into the game, maybe just the injured player. And then, you sit his butt down to seek proper medical treatment And make sure that he gets that cramp worked out before coming back in.
And like you said, use that safety bubble. They're all about, you know, targeting and lowering the head. And this gets me.
Every time one of these comes off.
When the defense lowers their head, they're automatically looking at targeting. When Matt Corral lowered his head and was diving last night into somebody, they say, oh, he's throwing a shoulder into him. No, he's not. He put his head down and went right into him. His shoulder didn't touch him.
You know, consider the source, too. We've got sportscasters that are trying to tell us that our ears are hearing, let's go, Brandon. It's mad. It's clown world. So, you know, yeah, I'm not going to be gaslit by Jordan Rogers.
No.
Mr. 2-year Vandy star.
This is pent up from 1997 when Lee Corso called us trailer trash. That's what it is. Mm. Was it 97 or 98? Anyway.
Yeah. It was Chris Fowler. And yeah, yeah.
I thought it was Lee Corso. Forever. I thought it was Lee Corso.
It's Fowler.
Oh, well. Where's he at now?
Same. Yeah, exactly.
Fixing to retire. Let's go through the remainder of last week's results. We're 20 minutes in, of course. We all three picked Arkansas to beat up on Auburn, Bo Nix and company. Turn that one around.
You never know what you're going to get with that guy.
I tell you. You never know.
This guy's favorite.
I mean, you got to give credit where credit was due. He did throw a dime in that game. I saw the highlights. He threw a dime.
We all three missed that one, 38-23. We all three picked Florida as well in the Florida-LSU game. And, of course, LSU come back and winning that one, 49-42. And I didn't know this because I haven't paid attention to any news today, but as soon as we get on here and start our pre-game talk, our pre-show talk, go ahead and hit it, whichever one of y'all that said it. I think it was Adam.
He gone.
He be gone.
No more. Biggest fraud in the SEC, gone.
No more cooking the gumbo. He out.
he'll be defensive lines coach at Alabama next year. So.
Comment online. We have figured out how to handle this. If you are caught faking an injury on more than one occasion, you get a shocker by Shaq.
Who is this guy? Who is this Dustin Powell guy?
Whoo! There's a whole bunch of Ole Miss players walking really weird there on the side.
Hottie totty.
Looks like a hamstring.
A whole bunch of hamstring injuries. Oh. Hey, we finally got one right. The third game, Texas A&M over Mizzou, 35-14. Hoorah, Texas A&M. And then we all three, of course, picked Georgia with their defeat over Kentucky. I was so happy to see Kentucky take a conference loss. I just wish it would have been to someone like Vanderbilt or South Carolina or someone that, you know, wasn't in the top spot.
That's probably going to be their only conference loss all year, let's just be honest.
No, nah, Tennessee has a chance to beat them.
No.
After seeing last night and how positive.
Yeah, everybody's hurt. Booker, he hurt.
I think all second string plays next week, and we'll get into that.
Except Harrison Bailey plays over Milton.
See? Yes. Yeah, Milton, take off the orange. Get out of here.
I don't hold nothing against
Milton. Milton is anyway. A great quarterback at JUCO level.
I don't hold nothing against him. He didn't do it. I mean, it was not his fault at all.
It wasn't his fault. This just...
Oh, you gotta be more heads up on that last
point. No, I agree with that, but you can't put that on him.
You can.
I don't want to put the game on him, but you put that play on him.
Right. Yeah, the game's the not going team. On him because the previous play... They should already won at that point. Vanderbilt, South Carolina, the toilet bowl dubbed by Missing Mustard last week. South Carolina pulling it out, 21-20.
Who'd they beat?
Vanderbilt.
Oh. I didn't watch it.
And so we got that one right because we don't pick Vandy the rest of the season.
ETSU beat him. That's just what I always say, ETSU beat him.
Alabama, the closest score that picked on Alabama. Let's see, I had 35-14. Brad, 42-14, pretty close. And 55-7. Nice. Y'all are right there together as far as numbers go. I think y'all both.
We play Price is Right rules.
Yep, yep. Both y'all don't get that. He went over. So it's your win.
Close to the actual price without going over.
Oh, and of course, Brad picked Ole Miss for the win, although you did pick 56-35.
I know.
We all had 50s on this game. As did the rest of the country. We weren't thinking 50 total. Sorry. I have to go.
There was a safety.
There was a safety.
They didn't want to let us have it. It took long enough to get it.
It did. Well, wait a minute. We got to see if this can be overturned somehow.
These guys make $15,000 a game. $15,000. I was screaming at the top of my lungs that I'd do it for $50K a year.
Did you hit him with the oldest joke in the book? Say, hey, ref, get off your knees. You're blowing the game. That's the oldest one in the book.
I have never heard that.
You never heard a – come on, man.
No, never heard it.
I was screaming for Ole Miss to open up a hospital, though.
Or a bunch of blind zebras, calling them blind zebras. That's another one, too.
In the East, you have Georgia still 5-0, Kentucky 4-1, Tennessee holds the third spot, 2-2. Of course, these are all conference wins, 2-2 conference. Florida 2-3, South Carolina 1-3, and who would have thought Missouri at the beginning of the year would be sitting 0-3 in the conference with Vanderbilt, tied for the cellar.
That's gonna be the toilet bowl game. Missouri versus Vandy.
Tied for the cellar. In the West, Alabama 3-1 in the conference, followed by Auburn. 2-1, tied with Ole Miss 2-1, LSU 2-2, A&M 2-2, Mississippi State 1-2, Arkansas 1-3.
And everybody was hot to trot for Arkansas.
They were, and sitting in the cellar. Made a couple key non-conference wins. And,
you can hit them with they're in the slaughterhouse. See what they did there? There.
So.
Or the smokehouse.
Sausage house.
Mm-hmm.
They got their bacon cooked. We could do this all day.
They got their feet pickled.
They're hog.
They jacked their hog's jaw.
Thank you all again for listening to the show. Remember, the podcast comes out tomorrow. Be sure to share it with your friends. Of course, if you're watching this, you've watched the show and you don't want to listen to the podcast, but you can always share it. Get it out to your friends. It is on any platform that is out there, whether it's Stitcher. People go, what's Stitcher? CastBox? You know, I'll throw out the unknowns. It's not just Google and Apple.
I've never heard of either of those two, if I'm being honest.
See? We'll hit the same intro here. We'll see y'all next week. Go Vols.
V-O-L-S.
Flatten the tide.
Flatten the curve.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.